This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Neurodiversity with Natalie Tandaway, and that is on Fridays at 2 p.m. It is now 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic with Ken Gale and Donna Stein coming up.
People, people, don't you love this earth to share with everything that grows? Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seeds. It makes me wanna cry.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
We have Sally Gellert on the phone. And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for October 23rd, 2020.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today's Ecologic covers news items from several different environmental and ecological issues.
Activists claim victory from New Jersey Transit regarding renewable energy.
Renewable energy increases during COVID virus.
Saving the Hudson River sturgeon.
New Jersey Global Warming Response Act.
Flooding dangers throughout the U.S.
Standing Rock Sioux, back in court.
Fighting fracked gas transmission pipelines.
Black rail now listed as threatened.
Japan now releasing radioactive water into the Pacific. Dilution is not a solution.
Victory for the whales against the oil industry seismic blasting.
Past and upcoming shows.
Cecil Corbin Marks. To follow along on the environmental news we're covering today and to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our website, www.ecoradio.org. Once again, I would like to welcome Sally Gellert to our online part of the Ecologic Collective.
Thanks, Donna. Glad to be with you guys. This past Wednesday, activists claimed victory as the New Jersey Transit Board voted to move forward with an alternative renewable energy plan to replace its planned 140-megawatt fracked gas plant in Kearney. After 16 municipalities passed resolutions opposing the original plans and years of grassroots activism, News is very welcome. But an article by NJ.com's Larry Higgs, posted later that evening, quotes New Jersey Transit CEO Kevin Corbett as saying, "We want to get to the 100% goal. It does not preclude the use of a gas power plant." On Wednesday, October 28th at 10 a.m., New Jersey Transit is hosting a market outreach meeting for prospective industry participants. The meeting is open to the public.
From Renewables Now comes this. Even during the COVID crisis, renewable energy production is increasing. According to a review by the Sunday Campaign of data just released by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, wind, solar, and hydropower provided all, that's 100%, of the over 1,300 megawatts in new U.S. electrical generating capacity, adding in April of this year alone. I have noticed that when the renewable energy industry and FERC both report on renewable energy of any kind, whether solar, wind, or geothermal, FERC has lowered numbers, which you might expect from a federal agency oriented toward the fossil fuel industry. They're the agency that rubber stamps methane pipelines all over the country. But you can't get any higher than 100%, even for FERC. FERC also reported that over 5,000 megawatts of renewable energy was added to the U.S. electricity supply between January and April. According to Green Building Advisor, that's enough energy to power about 1 million homes. 1 million! About 3,000 megawatts was wind and about 2,000 was solar. New solar installations, when they're on private buildings such as homes and factories, usually are accompanied by energy efficiency measures. So that 2,000 megawatts is not the whole story. Much more than 2,000 megawatts of methane was not burnt as a result of the new solar energy capacity. The article links to the U.S. Energy Information Administration's Electric Power Monthly Report. It uses data, so rooftop solar is vastly, it uses utility data, so rooftop solar is vastly underreported because utilities don't own it and don't report it. For example, the New York Independent System Operator, the quasi-corporate, quasi-government organization that safeguards the New York electricity grid, does not put rooftop solar in its data of electricity generation in New York State, even though it accounts for thousands of megawatts.
We still have a creature from the Paleozoic era in our river.
Yay!
Talk about conservation. This is not something we should allow to be lost. The sturgeon in the Hudson River is in danger from the construction of the Champlain-Hudson Power Express project. It would devastate critical habitat of this endangered species. Overblasting, overexcavating, and not properly maintaining equipment may release man-made unhealthy pollutants of chromium, arsenic, lead, copper, barium, vanadium. Both the Center for Biological Diversity and Riverkeeper are speaking out to help protect this fascinating prehistoric fish. The sturgeon is an indicator species. That means it thrives if it shows the ecosystem is healthy. Indicator species are plants and animals, vertebrates or invertebrates, whose presence or absence indicates the health of an ecosystem. They might be a predator from the top of the food chain, whose presence indicates that there is enough prey to sustain them and enough of the prey is food. Indicator species might also be plants or insects that thrive in polluted environments and replace the plant species that are normally in that ecosystem. Jared Margulis, an attorney from the Center for Biological Diversity, says, "New York can't bury its head in the sand and pretend that this is a clean energy project. We need to see an end to this large Canadian hydropower."
The New Jersey Global Warming Response Act directed the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, in collaboration with other state agencies, to develop plans and make recommendations for reducing emissions of climate pollutants, represented throughout the report as carbon dioxide equivalent emissions, or CO2e, to a level 80% below their 2006 levels by the year 2050. known as the 80 by 50 goal. You can download the entire report and read the details for yourself.
From the Reuters News Service comes a report by First Street Foundation on the very high danger of flooding throughout the U.S. The report is oriented on property damage and criticizes FEMA's flood assessment for not including rain, rivers, or climate change. FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and is the federal agency rubber stamping all those methane pipelines, making the flooding worse.
You win a battle, but it doesn't mean you're done. We celebrate for a moment, but still get ready for the next onslaught. That defines pipeline struggles, right?
Uh-huh.
Native American nations opposed to the Dakota Access Pipeline have had to go to federal court again to stop the oil company's operations while it is still being litigated. Everything needs to stop until either side wins in court in a logical legal world. The threat to the water supply is too disastrous a risk and violates their sovereign rights. Standing Rock Sioux and other nations succeeded on their first attempt, only to have an appeals court overturn U.S. District Judge Boasberg's shutdown order. The next step is asking the judge to clarify his earlier ruling to get the appellate judges to again order the line to cease operations and issue an injunction to shut down the pipeline while the legal fight is ongoing. Makes sense, right?
Right. Corporate utility National Grid wants to expand a massive fracked gas transmission pipeline in North Brooklyn. The project is not a replacement of leaking pipelines. It is an expansion to charge us, the ratepayers, millions of dollars in rate hikes to fill their shareholders' pockets and to keep us locked into fossil fuels when we want to move onto affordable and clean renewable energy, such as geothermal, solar, wind, and energy-efficient buildings.
It took a decade, but the adorable and rarely seen black rail is now listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, which means that if steps aren't taken, the species could become endangered or extinct. As an indicated species, black rails illustrate the health of an entire ecosystem, in this case, wetlands.
Japan is set to officially decide to release treated water from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plants into the Pacific Ocean.
Oh.
Keeping water at the site where the devastating tsunami in March of 2011 led to three meltdowns could affect decommissioning. Since the meltdowns, groundwater and rain have been entering the site. An additional 180 tons of water was being contaminated every day by the high concentration of radioactive substances.
Wow.
Jengoran, a fishing industry lobby, opposed the release. The environmental organization Greenpeace says the radioactive water from the Fukushima reactor could damage human DNA if released. Attention is only on tritium, which is bad enough, but dangerous levels of carbon-14 in the water that has a half-life of 5,370 years becomes incorporated into all living matter.
From the Center for Biological Diversity comes this news. The oil industry can't search the Atlantic for oil via seismic blasting this year, and maybe not for several years, according to announcements made in court in early October. Permits for blasting that harms and harasses ocean animals, including critically endangered North Atlantic right whales, will expire on November 30th, and they will not be renewed. Seismic testing blasts the seafloor with high-powered air guns, then measures the echoes to map offshore oil and gas reserves. In the process, it disturbs, injures, and even kills marine wildlife. It's good to see the end of this testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Recently, we did a show on the environment and the elections. We delved into it, what we were hearing from the candidates, what we can hope for, and what we can expect for the planet from their platforms. Ecologist guests were environmental and social justice blogger Ted Glick, tedglick.com, and Ava Mateo, community engagement director at 18by.vote. 18by.vote is a dynamic organization of young activists with the goal to mobilize youth from teenage years through young adulthood to be empowered in the political process. Ted is on his 30-day fast to get people to vote on November 3rd.
Hope on the Hudson is a film about the sloop Clearwater made by director John Bauermaster. COVID has prevented Clearwater from continuing onboard environmental education programs and concerts, but we can participate virtually. The 12-hour 2020 virtual Clearwater Music Festival is still available on clearwater.org or on YouTube. Thursday, October 29th at 7:30 p.m., Clearwater will have an online concert featuring Reggie Harris, Magpie, Dean Stevens, and Thomasina Winslow streaming to Clearwater's Facebook Live and YouTube. That's Thursday, October 29th at 7:30 p.m. In October's past, Clearwater would recreate the role of the Hudson River's early cargo-going work boats she was designed from. Education gear and deck boats would go ashore, replaced by a pen constructed of saplings. In short order, a Windy Maples farm truck would arrive, and everyone present would line up from the truck down to the dock, to the boat, and a cargo of hundreds of pumpkins, large and small, would pass from hand to hand into the pen, accompanied by pumpkin-lined shanties. The occasional gamble on a risky toss all the way from truck to boat, and happy faces all around, it was a fun time for all. The pumpkin sale was an annual tradition for decades. Over 2 weeks, Clearwater would sail from Albany to New York, to New York City, celebrating the Hudson, the season, and our host communities with free festivals that brought thousands of school children, families, and passerby to the riverfront for boat tours, stone soup, plankton theater, an introduction to river life and issues, and of course, picking out a pumpkin. And always there was music supplied by a musical volunteer crew. The last Pumpkin Festival that Pete Seeger, a founder of Clearwater, participated in was a couple months before he passed. He did not play his banjo, but instead he got on the mound stage and led the crowd in the reading of the Gettysburg Address. He has said that if you can't say what ideas you are trying to impart in 3 minutes, you haven't thought about it enough.
The Our River Connects Us campaign recently spoke with Lisa Bloodgood, the Director of Advocacy and Education at the Newtown Creek Alliance. She says, "We need to reestablish connections that are lost in our world and in our cities, connections to water, to soil, to air, all of the elements, and we play a role in helping or hurting it. I think there's so much opportunity to show how ecology and industry can work together. So we try to identify where the intersections lie. I spend a lot of time with school groups and the public, because if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. The story of what happened to Newtown Creek is the story of what happens in the world. We want to know, how do we transition our community into something that is healthy and accessible and equitable? Our tributaries are just as important to protect as the main vein of the Hudson. Support the Alliance's critical work. Our River Connects Us is a project of Clearwater."
You know that the environment is not some abstract thing. It's clean and healthy air, clean and healthy water, renewable energy jobs, energy efficiency jobs, sea level rise protection, storm surge protection, the morality of killing endangered species, the morality of environmental justice and environmental racism. It's our health and health costs. It's everyone's future. It's also the sheer beauty and wonder of nature. That's why Ecologic exists and why it should exist. Case in point, EcoWatch.com reported yesterday about a new study on air pollution, the state of global air, a collaboration between the Health Effects Institute and the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation's Global Burden of Disease Project. A study like this is especially important during the COVID crisis, simply because COVID-19 is a respiratory disease and air pollution lowers respiratory health. And of course, the report refers to COVID-19 often. Even without COVID-19, air pollution kills almost 7 million people worldwide every year, 500,000 of them babies, making it the fourth leading cause of early death behind high blood pressure, tobacco use, and poor diet. And that's moving up from number 5. Air pollution also causes brain damage and other organ damage. And if air pollution can kill nearly 7 million people, it can damage the health and quality of life of many millions more. No, the environment is not some abstract thing.
Upcoming shows will cover a variety of environmental topics, but importantly, coming up will be a show honoring a great activist who the movement just lost. From the We Act for Environmental Justice comes this tragic news. The environmental movement lost a very strong voice when Cecil Corbin Mark's voice was silenced forever. We lost a great deal of intelligence, wisdom, and caring. Cecil was on Ecologic many times. His communication skills on the environmental justice issue were as strong as anyone, and the EJ movement has a lot of strong voices. He could talk to a room full of white people about racism without compromising on the issue, yet without almost anyone feeling uncomfortable, people listened when Cecil spoke. That's how good a communicator he was. He could explain succinctly how environmental justice affects white people and why people of color should be environmentalists. He was 51. Wow, it's that time again. Oof. Whether it's news shows or interview shows, time flies by. So those of you online, go to www.ecoradio to get additional information.
You can get environmental news on a variety of topics, including new articles posted this week, by going to www.ecoradio.org. We invite you to please sign up for our mailing list, and we'll let you know when anything is updated.
That's www.ecoradio.org. Now, as you know, we have something that belongs to you. This listener-sponsored radio station is yours. Now we need you to show your responsibility and your love for WBAI radio and your favorite show, or at least one of them, we hope, that's Ecologic. You have choices on how you can keep us on the air. You can go to www.givetowbai.org website to get any one or more of our terrific premiums by putting eco-logic in the search box in the upper right corner. Or we would always like to encourage each of you, our listeners, to become our buddy. Just go to www.givetowbai.org, go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Ecologic and pledge a monthly amount, any amount. Think of what this show is worth to you. You have our sincere thanks.
And a big thanks to our engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
give me the For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Sudan and Israel agreed to normalize ties in a U.S. brokered deal today, the White House said, ending decades of hostility as one of Africa's largest countries joins a broader diplomatic realignment in the Middle East. The deal helps Sudan emerge from international isolation after the U.S. sanctioned it in the 1990s. The development follows an agreement between Sudan and the U.S. in which Washington agreed to remove Sudan from a list of countries it considers state sponsors of terrorism. The coronavirus pandemic was the focus of the opening stages of last night's presidential debate, offering viewers two very divergent views of where the nation now stands with regard to the pandemic. At one point, Trump conflated Biden's call for a government-run public option health care plan with a Medicare for All bill authored by Senator Bernie Sanders.
When he talks about a public option, he's talking about destroying your Medicare, totally destroying, and destroying your Social Security. And this whole country will come down. You know, Bernie Sanders tried it in his state.
He's a
very confused guy. He thinks he's running against somebody else. He's running against Joe Biden. I beat all those other people because I disagreed with them.
A USA Today analysis identifies five counties where COVID-19 cases grew at a faster rate after Trump's rallies than before. Two of the counties are in Pennsylvania, two in Minnesota, and one in Wisconsin. Together, those counties saw 1,500 more new cases in the 2 weeks following Trump's rallies than the 2 weeks before. More than 50 million Americans have cast ballots in the presidential election, with 11 days to go in the campaign, a pace that could lead to the highest voter turnout in more than a century. Michael McDonald, who administers the U.S. Elections Project, is predicting a record turnout of about 150 million, representing 65% of eligible voters, the highest rate since 1908. Another 1.1 million workers applied for unemployment benefits last week. Nearly 790,000 applied for regular state benefits, while another 345,000 applied for federal pandemic unemployment assistance. Last week was the 12th week that unemployed workers didn't get an extra $600 in enhanced benefits. Roughly 12 million workers and their families have lost employer-provided health insurance. A second grand juror from the Breonna Taylor proceedings has come forward to confirm criticisms raised by a fellow juror that they were not given an opportunity to consider homicide charges against the officers who carried out a no-knock warrant the night she was killed. The anonymous statement released Thursday claimed the jury was only able to consider endangerment charges against one officer for shooting into Taylor's neighbor's apartment. The first grand juror to speak out said they wanted to consider other charges against the officers, but were told there, quote, would be none because the prosecutors didn't feel they could make them stick. White supremacists and other like-minded extremists conducted two-thirds of the terrorist plots and attacks in the United States in 2020, according to new data from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Violent right-wing actors were responsible for 41 politically motivated attacks and plots this year, while so-called far-left actors were responsible for 12, according to analysts at the CSIS. The new data stands in stark contrast to claims